Today sees the introduction of the government's new rules regarding social distancing and gatherings. From then on, for the foreseeable future, only six of us will be able to meet up socially. It does follow a sharp rise in the number of COVID-19 cases across the country. There will be some, well, limitations, if you like. There'll be some exemptions as well. But as we mentioned before, Liverpool has now joined Wirral and made it into the top 20 areas in England with the highest rates of COVID. And looking further ahead, there's the prospect of daily testing being an option as well, which would help to accelerate our return to the sort of normality that we all crave. Let's talk to Dr. Emily Adams, a senior lecturer in diagnostics for infectious diseases at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Emily, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us once again. Let's just talk about the new government measures, this rule of six, simplified, said the Prime Minister. How will it help to stop the spread of the virus, do you think?
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you again. Yeah, the rule of six, I think, simplifies a lot of the confusion that's been around for the last few months. And as we head into that autumn period, we know that there will be an increased transmission. As you say, we know that regionally, internationally, that the levels are going up and up. And so we really want to curb that at the, you know, at this time in September, make sure that people are adhering to social distancing guidelines, wearing face masks, and then in addition to that, making sure that we're reducing the number of people that we're meeting inside and outside, so that we're reducing all transmission risk that is absolutely.
How vital is a good, reliable method of testing? Because at the start of all this, we had the Prime Minister said it would be the envy of the world. It's turned out that it's not, and we're still learning as we're going along. And there is a certain amount of confusion with this, but a good, reliable method of testing, and we're doing this in high numbers as well, which I'm sure kind of brings its own issues too.
Yeah, so the moment that we're able to test nationally about 300,000 samples per day, so that's about 200,000 swab samples and 100,000 antibody tests. And we know this isn't enough. We know that there are lots of symptomatic people who are trying to get tests and being told they have to drive 100 miles, 300 miles, or they're just not available at all. And what would be really great is everyone could walk to their GP surgery or a swab would be delivered right to their front door, so that everyone who was at least symptomatic could have access to testing. And that would be a really good way to prevent onward transmission as well. So if we can detect those positives very early, then we can isolate them very quickly. So it's going to be a combination of efforts of, you know, reducing your social interactions in general, increased testing, and you know, or the other face masks, etc.
The three main weapons that we have in this battle: washing our hands, the face covering, and the social distancing as well. These are crucial. It's kind of been drummed into us, really. But, you know, we don't see everybody doing this. The vast majority of people do. Mm. But it's crucial that we all still do this all of these months on, because, you know, these are the main weapons that we have at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, in this roller coaster that's coronavirus, we know that coming into this winter period is going to be more difficult. There's lots of other infections circulating and flu, and so it's going to be difficult to spot COVID. It's going to be very disruptive. So we need to minimise that disruption as much as we can by things that we can practically do ourselves. So, yeah, that's wearing face masks. I've been on public transport. Most people, the vast majority of people, are wearing them. Yeah. And it would be great if we got to 100%. The same, we wear face masks to drop our children off at school. It would be great if everyone was doing that. People are taking it very seriously, but it's really important to remember that this is a long-term game. This virus didn't go away during the summer. It bubbled very, you know, at very low levels. Mm. And now it's sort of coming back because you go out on the roads, there's far more cars around. Oh, and there's people going to restaurants and cafes. You know, it's obviously going to pick up during this time where schools are going back, universities are going back. So we just need to make sure that we take those guidelines very seriously. They're talking about Operation Moonshot. I'd rather they got the local testing done quickly and everyone who was symptomatic was able to have access to testing when they're able.
Yeah, because we've seen that locally, didn't we? About 5 or 6 weeks ago, we had the spike in a certain part of Liverpool, in the Princess Ward in Liverpool, and that was jumped on very, very quickly, and it was contained very, very quickly. So knowing the area, knowing the people, knowing the community, I mean, that's really important that we kind of hone in on that because we know the place, we know the area.
Exactly. I think sort of there will be a lot of good local public health that we need to tap into. And so, you know, knowing that local area, is it different types of outbreaks we'll have? Is it in a hospital? Is it in a factory? Is it in people's homes? Is it more general community transmission? And those will trigger different sort of public health responses. So knowing that local context is really important. Getting people tested locally, and you know, if you are symptomatic, please make sure you book in and try to get, you know, testing quickly as possible. We Liverpool and Merseyside are on that sort of watch list, and you know, Public Health England, I think, will decide whether we move further up into the into different proposals. So it's really important that everyone takes it seriously now.
We need to talk about the worried well too, because at times like this, you know, that there will be a certain amount of people who will say, well, do you know what, I haven't got any symptoms, but I'd like to know just in case. And I am well, but, you know, I might have it, I might not have it. They're known as the worried well, not just with COVID, but with you know, any illness that comes along. That's just human nature. But we heard reports this week that they are kind of blocking up the system a little bit by going for tests when they don't have any symptoms.
Sure, I'm not sure how much of a problem that is. I think we need to expand our testing so that we can include the worried well. You know, they have their own anxieties. I'd like to see testing opened up much, much wider, so we're able to test more of our population regularly. But it really, it's important in those symptomatic people. The tests are much more likely to be accurate when you're symptomatic. And there's a complexity in diagnostic testing, and I won't bore you with the mathematics, but they really work much better in a symptomatic population.
And I think just to calm people a little bit, that cases don't necessarily mean deaths. They don't necessarily mean that you will go on to, you know, to feel ill, to feel really ill. And the numbers that we see with cases do not mean deaths. But you can understand why people will look at those figures and say, oh, you know, we've got so many X thousands, you know, this day, and worry about that. And of course, one death is too many. Of course it is. But it doesn't necessarily follow, does it?
No, and at the moment we haven't seen that transfer to huge numbers of case admissions and following deaths. But we do have a circulating transmission in mostly younger people, mostly people who are fairly mild with their symptoms. And that's what we want to prevent now. We want to prevent anything more serious happening. So by taking any measures that are put in place now seriously, then we can make sure that we don't get to those higher levels that we were seeing in March and April. You know, the case numbers now are nowhere near what they were at the moment. Yep. We have much better idea of what they are because we are testing more people, so that's great news. And we just have to make sure that it doesn't rise anymore.
Well, indeed, preventative, isn't it? You know, when we're looking at other countries like Spain and France and Belgium, you know, they kind of turned it round a little bit. They started to put measures in place, and their cases started to come down. But of course, as the days get shorter and we start to go indoors and winter comes and the flu virus will be kicking around and will be quite prominent as well, we don't need a mix. So a lot of this is real preventative stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. And other things we can do is make sure you get your flu vaccine this year, make sure you get your appointment booked in and you attend. So there are other practical things that we can do to make sure we're sort of as healthy as possible going into the winter.
Emily, thanks for your expertise and thanks for your time. Once again, there's Emily Adams there, Dr. Emily Adams, a senior lecturer in diagnostics for infectious diseases at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. We will, of course, be keeping you right up to date with those changes as they start to come in on Monday. Just turned a